There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Joy of Giving.
In one of the areas where the devil just seems to say, you can't do this, is the area of giving to the work of the Lord. It seems like we believe that God can do all things in the abstract. But when you get right down to the matter of concrete things and applying these things to our lives, many people seem to struggle with whether or not God can really do these things. I heard a story years ago about a man who found out he was going to heaven. And he asked the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, would it be possible if I could bring just one thing up into heaven with me? Just one thing that I'd like to bring. And the Lord said, no, said, we don't allow things from down there up here. And so that's the way it's going to have to be. Well, he kept persisting and persisting. And finally, the Lord said, all right. He said, you can bring one thing up to heaven, just one thing. Well, the man was so happy, and so he very quickly packed a suitcase filled with gold. He'd been saving this all of his life, and he put it in that suitcase. And when he arrived up into heaven, some of the angels noticed that suitcase. And they said, hey, you can't bring anything from down there up here. And the man said, well, the Lord said I could. And they said, well, all right then, but by the way, what do you have in that suitcase anyways? And they opened it up, and the angels looked in, and they said, oh, pavement. Now, you know, the fact of the matter is we put a lot of emphasis on the things of this world, but when we get to heaven, they're not going to matter that much. And in the passage before us in the Word of God this morning, we see the churches of northern Greece being used as an example to really challenge the church at Corinth for a special offering that was being taken. This was a special offering that many of the first century churches were taking in order to help support the church at Jerusalem. And the Apostle Paul is speaking about the churches of northern Greece, and he is using their example to encourage others. They had done such a good job. By the way, how many of you would like to be a part of a church that did such a good job that our testimony could encourage other churches? And that's what was happening. Verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He says, church at Corinth, I want to tell you what, the churches of Macedonia, they did a great job by the grace of God for this offering. You see, it appears that one of the responsibilities of the Apostle Paul was to encourage the churches in the area of giving. And as much as most preachers don't really get all excited about talking about this subject, because some people inevitably will resist and say that's all churches talk about, it is a part of the ministry to encourage people to get involved in the work of God. And so let's dive into this morning and see what was particular about the churches of northern Greece in their way of supporting the work of God. Notice, if you will, in your outline this morning, their desire to give. Their desire to give was unique. Their desire to give. The first thing about their desire to give is seen in verse number one. It was a powerful desire to give. It was a powerful desire to give. You see, why do you refer to it as a powerful desire? Notice what it says. It says, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, their desire to give came from God. It was given by God. It was a grace that was put into their heart. Now, grace can be defined as a disposition given by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's say that together. A disposition given by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, if you want to give something in the offering, that's not the devil making you want to do that. That's normally not you yourself. I mean, most people just don't naturally give that way. If you have a desire to give as a Christian, it is called a grace. It is the grace of giving. And it is a powerful desire because that grace comes from God. And it was called the grace of God upon the churches of Macedonia. It was a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. Well, when we do that which is not according to our natural flesh, it is the grace of God. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. So, it is God that has worked in us at Lancaster Baptist Church to give us the will in the first place. And when people desire to have a part, it is called the grace of God. It is from God. Their liberality was not of themselves. It had been bestowed upon them by the grace of God. You see, some givers give out of guilt, you know. It's like, well, I guess I have to. And some people give out of greed. I better give because I want to get more. But Christian givers give by the grace of God. It is the grace of God that is moving and working in their heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 116 and verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. You see, the psalmist wanted to give from a heart of love, from a heart of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now some people, when they give in the offering, they're giving kind of like they're giving to the IRS. It's sort of like, oh boy, well, they're going to get it. And then there are some people, when they give in the offering, it's sort of like they're giving an engagement ring. Here it comes. Oh man, I get to give to the Lord and tell Him that I love Him. There's a big difference when God gets a hold of your heart. When God gets a hold of your heart, giving is a matter of grace. It's a matter of joy. It's a matter of offering our love to Him. And so this desire was given by God. But notice, not only that, it was beyond their power. It was beyond their power. Listen, this powerful desire came from God, and it caused them to give beyond their own power. Notice in verse 3 it says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now, the word praying in our King James Bible means that they were begging us with much entreaty. They were pleading with us. Listen, please take the offering. No one has ever begged me to take an offering. I said to you, God was doing something in their hearts there. They were poor. I imagine the Apostle Paul felt bad to even take the offering. But they were praying Him with much entreaty. And it says there in verse number 3 that they were giving to their power, but they were giving beyond their power. They were doing more than what the natural eye thought would be normal for them to give. And I say to you this morning, that throughout the history of Christians, whenever God's Holy Spirit is working mightily, then God's people are doing beyond what would seem normal. Listen, whether it was the little lad who gave his lunch, the loaves and the fishes, or whether the widow giving her mites to the Lord, whenever you study in the Bible God working in someone's heart, there's a generosity that comes into one's life. Look in your notes there at Mark chapter 12 and verse 43. And He called unto His disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had even all her living. I'm telling you, Christian giving is powerful giving because God's Spirit is working in the heart. And here was a widow who said, I want to give sacrificially to the Lord. Here was a lad who said, I want to give sacrificially to the Lord. Here are the churches of northern Greece saying, I want to give sacrificially to the Lord. You know what that tells me? It tells me oftentimes that those with the least are giving the most, and they're having a heart that says, I want to be a part of helping others. It's interesting. 2 years ago, Mississippi was listed as the 49th state in per capita income. As far as income goes, number 49 in per capita income. Listen, yet that state averaged 2 years ago $4,070 per household in their charitable giving. They were 49th in income, and they were second in charitable giving. Massachusetts, on the other hand, was fourth in national income, yet they gave only $2,645 per household in their average income. They were 49th in their giving. They were fourth in their income. They were 49th in their giving. Warren Wiersbe wrote, and I quote, Christian giving does not depend on material circumstances so much as spiritual or scriptural convictions. Listen to that statement. Christian giving does not depend on material circumstances so much as spiritual convictions. Someone says, well, Pastor Chappell, we're not in Orange County. We're not in the Silicon Valley. And I say to you, it does not matter where we live. What matters is, what is God doing in our heart today? And I say, when God gets a hold of hearts, then something powerful takes place to the glory of God. And God is such a wonderful God. If He wants to do a great work on the backside of a desert in the Antelope Valley, He can do it here too. Because He's a great and a mighty God. The giving of these churches was powerful. But I want you to notice, secondly, it was personal. It was personal. Now notice this, if you would, in verse number 5. And really just try to capture the essence of what God is telling us. It says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. If you're taking notes or underlining, that is a very critical statement. They gave their own selves to the Lord. Now that's how personal it was. They had come to the place in their Christian life where they basically said, Lord, all that I am, all that I have belongs to you. Now folks, when you get there, the rest of it is pretty easy, isn't it? Have you ever come to a place where you dedicated your life completely to the Lord? Where you said, Lord, my life is yours. My home, my family, my business, it's yours. It's for all of your glory. And the passage here regarding these churches of northern Greece tells us that though they were less fortunate, they were willing to be a great part of this offering because they gave themselves first to the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is in your notes. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, the Apostle Paul says, look, it's only reasonable when you consider that Jesus Christ went to the cross and that Jesus Christ had the nails through His hands, through His feet, and the spear through His side, and that He shed His blood for you as the Son of God. It's only a reasonable thing then that we who are called Christians would say, Lord, all that I have, all that I am, I want to give to you. That's what the churches of Northern Macedonia had done. They said, Lord, we give ourselves to you. Now listen this morning, money is so intimately related to us as the possessor of it that we cannot give money without giving a part of ourselves. The devil knows that. That's why he fights Christians in this area perhaps as hard as any other area of the Christian life. Because the devil knows as we give to the Lord, we are giving not just money, we're giving our worship, we're giving ourselves unto Him. And yet how many of you thank God this morning that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us? You see, they gave themselves to Him because He had given Himself to us. Notice what it says in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. Verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Listen, he's challenging this Corinthian church. He's saying, you love God? Prove it. Years ago, I saw a bumper sticker out in the state of North Carolina. It said, tithe if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk. That's what Paul's saying here. Prove the sincerity of your love. Notice verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. In other words, the churches of Macedonia reasoned it this way. Jesus gave all that he had for us, so we're going to give all that we are to him. Now, that doesn't mean they gave every last morsel of bread. What the principle is here is that they were totally surrendered to God. That was their heart. Their heart was that they gave themselves first to the Lord. Now, how many of you just reading these first 7 or 8 verses would agree? The churches of Northern Macedonia had a supernatural desire to give. This is way beyond what the normal guy will do. He might give God a tip. But these people were giving their whole lives to the Lord, and they were begging the apostle to take an offering. They wanted to be a part of the work of God. How many of you would say that is a God-given desire? That comes from God. I mean, that's just not something you can whoop up with a sad slideshow. That's something that God was doing in their heart. We see their desire to give was a supernatural desire. But notice secondly, if you would, their demonstration in giving. How did they demonstrate this desire to give? And I think for many of you as newer Christians this morning, you're trying to ascertain, you know, is all of this giving stuff, is it just the church or is it really in the Bible? By the way, if it's just the church, forget it. But if it's really in the Bible, let's see what the Bible says. And notice their demonstration in verse 12, please. He said, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now as this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Now, in verse number 14, I want you to notice twice the word that is mentioned. It is the word equality. And so what I want you to notice about the teaching here concerning their demonstration of giving, first of all, is that their giving was proportionate. Giving is to be proportionate to the blessing of God. You see, in the Bible, you'll never see an offering where they said, everyone come to a dinner and everyone give X amount per plate. It was never done that way. Giving was always mentioned in a proportionate way. For example, tithing is proportionate giving. Tithing is simply saying, everyone give 10%. So the guy that makes $100 a week and the guy that makes $1,000 a week are giving proportionately. That's God's plan in tithing. God's plan is the same in giving. Those that are blessed more are able to give more. And he says, I don't want some being eased while some are burdened. Look it, some people could give even $10,000 and just kind of keep moving along and readjust a few things and keep going. Other people could not give that. It's simply stated then, you don't have one amount for every member, but every member says, hey, how has God blessed me? And how can I be a part of this? Look it, folks, it's not about the dollar number. It's about proportionate giving. God has blessed some of you in investments and in your businesses and at your jobs, and he's done some wonderful things for you. And these are opportunities where we can honor him proportionately. Look in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And what do the next 4 words say? As God hath what? As God hath prospered him. God says, hey, I'm going to prosper each of you differently. I want you to honor me according to the way that I have prospered you. Now, I'm simply saying there's a lot of ways that people try to fund building programs, all right? But the best way is just to step back get down on your knees in prayer and really think about how God has blessed you, and then honor Him proportionately to His blessings. And so we see, and concerning their demonstration, it was to be proportionate. He said, I don't want some on easy street and some being burdened. Notice, secondly, it was to be protected. This offering was to be protected. Look very quickly at verse number 16, what the Bible says. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation. But being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, it doesn't say the brother's name, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us by this grace, which is administered by us under the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should, notice this, blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, notice this, but also in the sight of men. Now this is interesting. He says, I want all of you to give an offering, and I want everybody to give proportionately according to how God has blessed. Then he goes to great lengths to say, by the way, we're not just going to send Titus to take the offering, but we're going to send another brother, the brother of praise. By the way, that would be a good thing for you and I to be known as, the brother of praise. Don't be known as the brother who always grumbles. You know what I'm saying? And he says, I'm going to send Titus, but I'm going to send another guy too. Now, someone says, what is the big deal about that? Why did God put that in the Bible? Well, notice what it says there in verse number 21 again. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but what does it say? But also in the sight of whom? Paul says, look, we're going to receive the offering. It's going to be proportionate, but it's also going to be protected. And we're not just going to have one man carrying the funds. We're going to have two men. That's why here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we have a policies manual about that thick. And I'd say about a fourth of it deals with how finances are handled and how the offerings are always counted by a team of six and always delivered by a team of three, and how there's always double signatures on the POs and double signatures on the checks, and how the books are audited annually, and so on and so forth. Why? Because as God's people give proportionately, then God says, I want you to handle it in a way that is honest before men. It needs to be protected. There needs to be wise stewardship. But notice, thirdly, not only is it proportionate, not only is it protected, but thirdly, it is to be prepared. Now, this matter of giving was something that God wanted them to prepare and to be ready for. Now, notice, if you would, in chapter 9, and beginning in verse number 1, how he begins to help them to prepare. Notice, if you would, verse 1, chapter 9. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know, superfluous means it's not really needful. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind. He says, I know what you're thinking. And he says, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. You guys get the picture of this. The Apostle Paul saying, I just thought it was necessary to remind you that the offering time is coming. I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, notice, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, write down the definition of the word bounty. Bounty means a generous offering. You can look it up in the Greek. You can look it up in a Webster's dictionary. It means a generous offering. So Paul says, I sent the brethren ahead so that you would be preparing your offering. He says, I want you to be getting ready for the offering that we're taking. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants us to be preparing. God wants us to be seeking his kingdom.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.